As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here with another Star Wars TV Talk. Mandalorian TV Talk. It's Mandalorian. This is the way that we do the Mandalorian TV Talk. Hey, it's back. Mando is back. Not only is Mando back, Grief is back, the armor is back, IG-11 is back, Grogu's back, the Darksaber's back. Everybody's back. Everybody's back. They're all back. Bo-Katan is here. Everybody's back. Not everybody. Not everybody's back. Some people are back. And this is the way that we do a kickoff to a season of Mandalorian. And so we begin things, and we got this young kid. He's going through the ceremony of getting his helmet and all that kind of good stuff. And I wonder if this is supposed to do two things. One, parallel the fact that, you know, as a foundling, the Mando, this is what he had to do. Din Djarin had to go through a very similar ceremony and kind of took this oath to put on this helmet and everything else. And of course, because of the events of last season, he's broken that oath and now has to go on this path of redemption. So there's that. But I also wonder if this moment is going to bookend the season so that by the end of this season, we could potentially see Grogu going through a very similar ritual where he has to go, you know, stand in the water and then get a little miniature cute Grogu Mando helmet and then put that on. I think that would be amazing. I mean, I know that means it would cover one of the most marketable little faces that you know, they've got it everywhere. But at the same time, it's a natural progression of where his character is going. So I'm very curious to see how this all plays out. We get a chance to return to Navarro, where we see that Greef Karga he's really upped his game. He's even got little droids that are going behind him holding his robe as he walks throughout the city. The IG-11 statue, we learn, is not just a statue, but actually contains actual parts from IG-11. It's the only droid that the Mandalorian really learned how to trust after kind of his traumatic experience as a child with the Clone Wars. And so if he's got to go and he's got to like go on this adventure on, you know, a fallen Mandalore, he's going to need somebody who can actually go there that cannot breathe or doesn't have to worry about the poisonous gases in the air. And thus, he needs a droid that he can trust, even if it means resurrecting this killing machine. Now, we're introduced in this episode to some pirates, and this was great. This one in particular pirate of the name of Vane, like really, really cool looking dude. All of these guys, like they've got the nice, like crazy alien faces, but they're also rocking some epic, like space pirate gear. You know, they got their swamp thing captain. I don't know what his deal is. I have a feeling he's going to come back into play big time later on. Pirates, you don't know if you know this about me. I'm kind of a fan of pirates, pirate lore, pirate legends, and even kind of these unique reimaginings of all things pirates. Hondo Inaka, very much one of my favorite characters that was introduced in the series. And I think a more exploration of what does piracy look like in the Star Wars universe is a lot of fun. We've gotten that a little bit from kind of the smuggling angle with Han Solo. You know, Lando even calls him a pirate in the movies. But this is actually like more of kind of true piracy. This tension between what Navarro used to be with the pirates coming in being like, hey, we want to have a drink with you. We're going to do it in this bar. And he's like, no, this is a school now. You know, kind of this, we've grown up. We're civilized now. We've got children here. We're, you know, yeah, no, look, if you want to talk to me, you can come to my office. We can do this. But it's not like it used to be. And at the same time, Grief is also like, and by the way, if you want to go, we can go. I'm ready to throw down right here on the streets of my own town. So you do see that kind of roughness that kind of was in the midst of everything Nevarro is still there, even though they've really turned it into a working society, a working civilization, and a place where children can, you know, play and learn and all that kind of great stuff. They're trying to stay outside of the New Republic and really maintain their independence. And I think we'll see more tension like that throughout the galaxy as, you know, with the Imperial remnants being out there trying to figure out what they are before they ultimately go and either go out into the outer regions or become the First Order, or we don't actually really know. We don't know what's going to happen to the Imperial remnant. But then we also have this concept of Mandalorian space that I don't think has actually ever been expressed before. It makes sense. We've got Mandalore, which of course is your main planet, but the idea that there's like this system of planets or this kind of territory that is controlled by the Mandalorians, or at least at one point was controlled by the Mandalorians, makes sense with everything that we know about them. They're kind of these warriors, these conquerors. They're kind of the Targaryens, if you will, where they kind of go about and they take some stuff and they fight some people and they're like, this is ours now. This is the tension, of course, between them and the Jedi, you know, like that they're going to go back way before any of these Star Wars movies, right? Like way, way back in the day, the Mandalorians and the Jedi and essentially the Republic through the Jedi all warred against each other and they all hated each other and they were all fighting each other. There was this religious crusade that was kind of existed, but there was also this territorial battle that was going on. And yet I don't think we've ever actually seen any other planets in quote unquote Mandalorian space other than Mandalore itself. Are these actually still considered Mandalorian space, or is it just like that's what they consider it even though it's not that way anymore? It's almost like at one point they were like this large country, but then after some stuff it got broken up into these other countries, but then maybe one of them wants to show up and be like, hey, y'all are still part of our country, and they're like, no, we're our own thing now, and then that causes some tensions. Actually, you know what? Maybe this is a really problematic narrative for the modern era. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go with all that. Anyway, all that to say, we do get a chance to see this like little palace throne room kind of summer home type situation that Bo-Katan is chilling at. She's all depressed because, of course, she's not ruling anybody. She doesn't have the dark saber. The dude that does have the dark saber is one of these, like, he's an apostate. He's trying to get back to his people and kind of get back to his culture and his faith and his religion, all that kind of stuff. And she's like, no, man, like, we got this whole other thing. It's bigger than all that. But he doesn't see it like that. Actually, Grief is also kind of offering him like, hey, stay here, be a sheriff, be a marshal. Like you could, you know, here you'd be celebrated. We'd see you as a champion. We wouldn't see you as an outcast. We wouldn't see you as an outsider. I think anybody that's been in some form or fashion exiled or rejected by their own people, like, can understand the tension of being able to be in places where you're fully celebrated and fully known and fully embraced, but still having kind of the pain point of knowing that where you came from or your own kind has rejected you. That can be a painful thing. And I think the way they're exploring it with this series is going to be very, very fascinating. So I'm excited for a lot this season. I'm excited for the return of IG-11, a fantastic character that I really like the dynamic between him and Mando. You know, they mentioned that he needs to get like a, you know, some sort of new memory slot. I'm just going to throw it out here. My theory is, given that some of the things we've seen in the trailers and just the way that this series has like incorporated all of these little side elements from across the Star Wars universe, like they go so like they do the fan service thing, but then they do weird things with fan service, right? Like, for example, they take the little dudes from the worst Star Wars movie and they make them kind of awesome and cute in this series, right? Like they're over here, you know, fixing up the droid and whatnot. They're great. Grogu's picking one up. It's awesome. And then you got, you know, Cobb Vance, who's like going through the freaking Dune Sea with like a piece of Anakin's pod racer. Like that's crazy. That's crazy that they did that and that we all kind of love it. As opposed to being like, you know, because you know how people get, like, I don't typically get this way, but I mean, a lot of people get, whenever they get the overly fan service-y type stuff, they just roll their eyes. We haven't rolled our eyes at any of this stuff. So this is my theory. I have a feeling that they are going to go to a little droid that couldn't get its motivation right, and they are going to whip out its memory core, and they're going to put it in IG-11. That's right. I think that R5 is going to become the new IG-11. I don't know how it's going to be compatible, but I think those little Rise of Skywalker dudes are going to figure out a way to do it. That's my theory. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. Head over to Twitter. Use the hashtag Star Wars TV Talk. Use the hashtag Mandalorians TV Talk. Let's kind of get some theories going and figure out where this is headed. This is the way, ladies and gentlemen. And the way is me saying that I'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.